leaning on the everlasting arms, the arms of Jesus Christ. Amen. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path rose from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have peace complete with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. It is well with my soul. When peace like a attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. I sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. My soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Holy Lord, most holy Lord, you alone are worthy of our praise. Oh, holy Lord, most holy Lord, with all of my heart I sing, great are you, Lord, great are you, Lord, great are you, Lord, great are you. Most holy Lord,
from the beginning, amen.
Holy Lord, most holy Lord, you alone are worthy of our praise. Oh, holy Lord.
Wonderful peace of the Lord. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He is our peace. Stand, rise up. Do you love the Lord this morning? He certainly loves you. Amen. I love you, Lord. Lift your hands and worship. And I lift my voice worship you, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. From the beginning, amen. Glory to you. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. We love you, Lord. We thank you.
Thank God, we are victors in Christ. It's so great to see all of you. Goodness sakes. Praise the Lord. I want to speak to you today about the hope that we have in the Lord. So it's not a matter of saying, well, I hope it's going to happen, like sometimes we do say that. We have something that is real, and it's called a hope sure and steadfast. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless the word to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Father, that we're able to be here, Father. This is so natural for us, Lord, even though it's supernatural. We praise you, Lord, that we could come here and worship you. Glory to God. We pray that you'll bless this word of God to our hearts and give us renewed hope. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it, Father. Glory to your holy name. Hope is a big subject, okay? When you look in the concordance to try to find verses on hope, pretty soon you find out there's lots of hope in the Word of God. In the Old Testament alone, it's mentioned 69 times. 69 times in the Old Testament. Hope. Hope is important, isn't it? And so many times in the New Testament, we can't possibly go through. I tried to do that. I had everything written down. I thought this sermon's going to be 2 hours long. So I decided I better not do that, keep you all too long. Praise the Lord. So we're going to turn to Psalm 45, all right? Let's go to Psalm 45 to begin with. I believe that David wrote this psalm. It doesn't say, and that isn't the right psalm I wrote down. It should be 42. Praise the Lord. Psalm 42 is what we want. And we're going to be reading with verse 5. Psalm 42, verse 5. A question. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? The word disquieted here means restless, or, you know, no quietness, just distressed. We go through those times in our lives. I've been through that situation many times in my own life. But David is asking the question, why am I this way? Why art thou disquieted within me? And he's like, he's talking to himself. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Praise the Lord. I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Praise the Lord. Revised my notes and I didn't get all of the meanings in. But his countenance, his determined plan for us, what he is to us, his presence with us, we will yet praise him for that help of his countenance. Then he says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, which speaks of death, and of the Hermonites, and from the hill. And then going on down in verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? We do go through trials that maybe we might feel like, where's the Lord in all of this? Why did God not step on the scene and answer our prayer when we prayed? But that's because we're natural. We feel that way sometimes. But as we look on here, he says he'll say to the rock, he knows where to go, to cry out to the rock of his salvation. And then going on to verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Praise the Lord. And we do often ask why when we're going through a trial or test or something that's just hurt us very, very badly. That's not wrong because we're humans. But we come to that place where we know that our hope is in God. Yeah. Everything that he has provided for us, everything that he has given to us, all the promises of the Word of God are ours. Praise the Lord. The precious promises of help in our time of trouble, all of the things, the promises that he will give us victory in the time when our loved ones die. It's a hard deal. We've lost Brother John. We loved him so much. We miss him. I know his family misses him. His wife misses him. But, oh, God is there. God is there. All of us that have lost someone, many of us, many widows in this meeting, you know. But God has always been with us. He's always our helper. I just praise him every day. I still have times when I feel alone, just alone. I don't have family up here. So, you know, you all, but I don't have my natural family, anybody here. But God is always with me. When I cry out to the Lord, then I find that hope. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is so good. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians 1. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 1 and see what Apostle Paul says about our coming to this place where we just rely on God and trust on Him. And this scripture has meant so much to me. I've told you before that when my little baby died, he had muscular dystrophy and he died. Oh my, what a hard thing that was. I had two other healthy children and all of a sudden I had this little child that was just so sickly and bad. And he was almost 1 year old and never had developed correctly, but was very intelligent, which made it hard. And so anyway, two weeks after he died, I was there in my house and I was feeling so down and out. And I've told you about this, but I'm going to try to be brief this time. A lady came to the door and she said, I've got a friend in the car. Her baby is dying in the hospital. I don't know what to tell her. I didn't know this lady hardly at all. And she said, well, you let her come in here and I want you to talk to her and tell her about the Lord. And boy, I said, okay. But whenever she was going out to get the woman, I was like, Lord, what have I got to say? You know, because I was just so upset still. But the Lord spoke to me this verse. So this verse has always meant so much to me. 1 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And when the Lord spoke that to me, I realized that was what he wanted me to do, was to be a comforter to other people. And that young woman came in. Her baby was deformed. It was terrible, you know, in condition, born without bones in its legs and all kinds. And her husband had left her because he said, it's your fault. It's your genes that caused this trouble. And so here she was alone. She was a believer in Christ. And so I had her sit down and I started talking to her about the Lord and about his help. And we prayed and she was knew Jesus and she was so thankful to have somebody to talk to her. And she said, if you'll go with me to the gravesite, because she didn't know anything about how to prepare for a funeral or anything, no more than I did when my baby died. But I was able to help her. And then we went to the gravesite 2 days later and stood there by her as they did the service. And right there was my baby's grave, right directly behind. So when I go to that graveside in Tucumcari, New Mexico, which I hardly ever get to go to, I go there and I see that little child next to my baby. And I always think of how the Lord spoke to me, that the comfort wherewith I was comforted of God, that I should comfort others. So that has something to do with our hope and our being cast down, as we just read in those scriptures there in Psalms. You may wonder what that has to do with it, but that's what I felt led to do. So he says there in Psalms, I will yet praise him. Praise is the victory. We all know that. If you can just, through your trial and test, if you can just say, thank you, Lord. I don't understand, but thank you anyway, Lord. Give me victory. Give me peace. He will do that. He's very, very faithful. He will come in and do that. Praise the Lord. Our countenance there speaks of his countenance, it says. It speaks of his presence with us. He's always with us. Do you know that? Jesus is right here. He's with us in this meeting today. He's in our hearts, but he's also with us in all of our trials. There's a song that probably some of you may know. I know a lot of old songs because I'm very old now. But it was, he was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. When I didn't think he was there, he was there. He was right there. Isn't that great assurance? Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Another one of the Psalms, Psalm 71:5 says, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust. from my youth. And verse 14 says, I will hope continually, and I will yet praise thee more and more. And I tell you what, the victory in Christ comes when we praise the Lord. No matter if we don't feel like it, you know, we can't go by our feeling. But if we start worshiping the Lord at our home, anywhere we are, we just start saying, well, thank you, Lord, anyway. You are my victory. You are my strength. It just brings victory. It just brings that peacefulness. It's wonderful. Praise is the victory. Glory to God. Let's turn to Romans 5. Romans 5, we're just going to look at a few scriptures that have this word hope in it in the New Testament. And we're going to begin reading here with verse 1. Praise the Lord. All of us here, I think, understand about how we have been justified since we have been born again. We have been made righteous. That's what the word justified means in this first verse. We have been made righteous in Christ. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Where is our rejoicing? It's in that hope. When I saw the rioting on the TV this morning, I clicked it on to see what was happening in the night, and it spread all of these places and buildings being burned and all this. I thought, Lord, we need hope. We need to rejoice in hope. Praise the Lord. We need to stand in this hope of your soon coming for us. Truly. I talked to Brother Gene Hawkins yesterday. I said, Brother, did you ever think we would go through a pandemic like this before Jesus Christ would come? Because this is tribulation stuff. You know, this is what the tribulation is going to be about, great diseases and all of this stuff that's going to happen. And he shook his head. He said, no, I never thought that it would happen in our day. So, why? Why are we having all of this? Because God wants to work something. Maybe this is the only way he can get people's attention. What does it mean for us to gather together? Is it something great? Or is it just something, oh, well, I can take it or leave it. It's not really important. That's what some people think about gathering together. And look how we've suffered through this. From March clear to here. Without being together, without really feeling the presence of God and the presence of the people. Yeah. It's been really hard for us. But praise the Lord, we have a hope in the glory of God. We have a precious hope. And this word means in the Greek to anticipate. Are you anticipating anything? I am. I'm anticipating that trumpet to sound any time. That's my hope. I'm longing for the coming of Jesus. And it means to anticipate with pleasure and with expectation or confidence. That's what that Greek word means. I expect this with confidence. I believe Jesus Christ is going to come at any time. And that is my hope. The glory of God. Are we going to see it? Yes, we are. We're going to see the glory of God. Praise the Lord. I will rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Jesus Christ will be set upon his throne and become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we will rejoice in the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you know that one day we will be glorified?
Amen.
We have the hope of the glory of God. One of these days, our old body is going to be changed into a new body, like unto his glorious body, the scripture says. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? That is our hope. And we believe that with all of our heart, and it's going to happen. And I put on my paper here. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Do you believe it? Is this your hope? Praise the Lord. It's important. Let's turn to Ephesians 1. Now, I can't read all the scriptures where hope is. You can go and look them up somewhere and read them yourself. It's not hope in the things of the Lord. It's not like we say when someone says, are you going to win the big money that is in the lottery? And we say, well, I hope so. That's not kind of hope we're talking about. We're talking about this wonderful conviction that we have that God's word is true and we are going to experience this one of these days. Let's begin reading with verse 15. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the hope of his calling? What does that mean? Well, we've been called. Everyone here in this meeting, I think, knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and have a bride. A bride is a group of people that are fully yielded to God, are going to go away with Christ and be in that company. And that is this beautiful thing that he's talking about here, the hope of his calling. His calling. He has called us to this place. That is what he wants us to be. Not all of us will be there, and sadly, but some people, you know, if they fully yield to God, they're going to be there. And so it's our privilege to yield to him right now and cherish this call, this hope that we have. In the Amplified Version, it says to cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, and the confident expectation to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Isn't that beautiful? Cherish that because it's so meaningful. Paul prayed that these people would know the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory and the inheritance. Did you know he's going to have an inheritance also? We're looking forward to our inheritance in Christ, but he's going to have a wonderful inheritance. Praise the Lord. The people of God are his inheritance. So he has a hope and we have a hope. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. His hope is his inheritance of the saints. And our hope is just to be there with him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We often think about our reward, about what we will get out of it. Do you ever think about that? Well, where am I going to be in heaven? What portion will I have with the Lord? But do you ever think about what he's going to get out of it by bringing many sons to glory? In Romans 12:12, it says, we rejoice in hope. And it also adds, we're patient in tribulation. So hope is a wonderful thing. We have to have hope in the natural even to live. But in the spiritual, it's very, very important that we have a hope in the Lord. And 1 Corinthians 15:9 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now think about that. He didn't say just hope in this life. He says our hope in Christ in this life. So some people don't look forward to a great and wonderful place with the Lord. Their life is just, you know, going to church and just ho-hum, we've got to go again, and not really sincere. And they are not really looking for a place with the Lord that's our hope, that's a great and marvelous hope. And so Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. He couldn't describe it with greater words, could he? this is all there is? You've heard people say that. I think it was in a movie one time. Is this all there is? No, boy, I'm glad this isn't all there is, because it's not fun. We want something that's wonderful and beautiful, and that's what we're going to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like for us to turn to the sixth chapter of Hebrews. Sixth chapter of Hebrews. See, you haven't heard me preach in a long time, so if I'm long-winded, please bear with me. Praise the Lord. In this sixth chapter of Hebrews, we're going to begin reading back here in verse 17, the latter part of the chapter. It says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. The word immutability, it's a big word. It means the unchangeableness of God. God doesn't change. If he declares something in his word, it's exactly that way. He never lies. He never changes anything. And so we can put our confidence in it. In verse 18, that by two immutable or two unchangeable things in the which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, which means comfort. There's strong consolation for us in Christ. That's what he does best, is comfort us. And of course, we have the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter also. And then he says, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Have you fled for refuge? Have you ever been to the point where you felt like, I can't do it anymore? I'm weak, I need help, and run to the Lord in your prayer, in your desire, and say, God, here I am. I have to have your help. That's what he's waiting for a lot of times, isn't it? He wants us to realize our need and cry out for him, for his help for us. Praise the Lord. And so let us flee to this refuge. Remember in the Old Testament, there were cities of refuge they could flee to, they could run to for safety. And he says, the thing is, once you get there, then lay hold upon that hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Because Jesus Christ died and put that blood of atonement in that inner place in heaven. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have a surety and security because he has entered within the veil. We have an anchor that's hooked right there in that veil. Praise the Lord. We are delivered. Glory to God. Now we're going to read back in Colossians 1, a couple of scriptures. Colossians 1, verse 26. In verse 25, he says that he's been made a minister according to this dispensation, which is the grace dispensation of God, which is given to him, he says, for you to fulfill the word of God. That's how we have learned to fulfill the word of God, is mostly through Paul's epistles and writings. And then he goes ahead to say, I hope I have the right word, right? Verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Have you had it manifest to you? I believe you have. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is in you, Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what hope do you have of being glorified with Christ? What hope do you have of being a full overcomer in Christ? What hope do you have of being in that company that will rule and reign with Christ? There is nothing in us that can have that place, that can provide that place for us. It is Christ in you.
Yes.
Christ in you. That's where the hope comes from. Christ is working in us. That's why he allows these hard trials. Frankly, I don't like them. That's in my natural. I don't like hard trials. Do you? Never liked it when I was sick or when someone passed away. It was hard. But when I think of what he's doing, Christ in me, there's a song in our Grace and Glory, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. That's beautiful, isn't it? Praise God. And verse 5, let's look at verse 5 of this chapter 1. Read verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where all of you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So there's a hope that's laid up for you in heaven. It's already there. God has already provided it. Jesus provided it through his death. And I'm going to cut this short because our time is getting long, but I'm going to just remind you. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 talks to us about the coming of Jesus, how that the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will be caught up together with him in the cloud. And there Paul says, for us to not be like those who have no hope. Hope is a big deal. It's a very important thing. And it isn't just that little old saying, well, I hope so. It's not like that. It is actually a work of God in us that gives us hope. Part of the fruit of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. In 1 John 3, 1 through 3, it says there that every man has this hope in him. Everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Purifies himself. The Lord does the work, but we have to be willing to let him do it. And in Titus 2, 11 through 15, it says there, I'm going to turn to that one, and this will be the closing verse. Titus 2, I love that scripture. This is where it says that the grace of God teaching us, and it says to deny ungodliness and worldly lust in verse 12, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm looking for the blessed hope, and I believe it's going to be soon. I can feel it. I thought the Lord was come the other night. I was so entranced. I thought I was just like sitting on the side of my bed. Just take me, Lord, now. I was just ready. I was wanted to go. And I know that these are signs around us that his coming is near. I believe that. Praise the Lord. Oh, saints of God, have hope in Christ. Praise the Lord. If we don't have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, the scripture says. Don't be miserable. Look up. Have hope. We're going to sing a song, and we'll trust in the Lord to meet all of our needs. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I am dead to this world and its pleasures. With the Lord I have been crucified, but I'm also with him resurrected. In the heavenlies now I abide. With trumpet shall sound that glad day, and the Lord comes to catch us away. Face to face I shall see him in glory, when the trumpet shall sound that glad day. The race I am patiently running, I press toward the mark for the prize. I am looking for Jesus, my Savior, to appear that glad day in the sky. When the trumpet shall sound that glad day, and the Lord comes to catch us away, face to face I shall see him in glory, when the trumpet shall sound that glad day. That glad day is swiftly approaching, when the bridegroom shall come for his own. Face to face I shall see him in glory, I shall know him as now I am known. When the trumpet shall sound that glad day, and the Lord comes to catch us away, face to face I shall see him in glory, when the trumpet shall sound that glad day. Let's sing the chorus one more time. When the trumpet shall sound that glad day, and the Lord comes to catch us away, face to face I shall see him in glory, when the trumpet shall sound that glad day.